T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For insight onto that, we go to the man who covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. And he's with us here on The Fan. He's our buddy Chris Fedor. Hello, Chris. And he joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How are you, buddy?
What's happening, Chris?
Guys, I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing well.
Hanging in, man.
And I am not the least bit surprised. Nobody is. We all saw the numbers. We all assumed that the Cavaliers would end up at 14, which to me, Chris, puts them in such an interesting position because so many things can happen at 14. And let's touch on some of those. First of all, let's start with a player. Are they looking, in your estimation, best player available or fill the need with a best player available? And what would that need be?
No, I mean, guys, I think this offseason is very straightforward and yet complex for the Cavs. And I think when it comes to the draft, it's their first opportunity, obviously, for external improvement. I think it's best player available at a position of need. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know that the Cavs would get a ton of value if they used the 14th pick on, like, a center or something like that, unless one of the top guys were to fall all the way down to 14 because people don't value centers as much. So I think it's best player available at a position of need. And they understand coming into this offseason that they need better wings and they need secondary playmakers behind Darius Garland. So my early sense on the Cavs at number 14 is that whoever the best of that skill set is, that's who they're going to go with.
Chris, do you believe 14 is available in a trade?
Look, this is hard because I don't know who they could get for 14. And I think, guys, if we're talking about the Cavs making trades this offseason to try and significantly improve the roster, I think we have to start here. Every big trade needs a centerpiece, right? Like, even if you go back to the Cavs trade with the Boston Celtics for Kyrie Irving, the Cavs got a centerpiece in that deal. They got the Brooklyn pick, which was coveted by people around the NBA. And many people actually thought that the Celtics would never trade that Brooklyn pick. That's how valuable it could have been. And for the Cavs, they viewed it as that could have been their ticket to Luka. It wasn't, obviously, or their ticket to Trae Young. It wasn't, obviously, because Brooklyn went on that great run at the end of the season. But the point is, that was a very, very valuable asset. And every big trade like that needs a centerpiece. And the Cavs aren't trading Darius Garland. They're not trading Evan Mobley, and they're not trading Jared Allen. So what's the centerpiece of any kind of trade that the Cavs are going to make with another team? It's not Isaac Okoro. He's not a centerpiece. It's not Colin Sexton. He's not viewed that way around the league. And the 14th pick in this draft that is supposed to fall off pretty significantly after the top three or four, that's not a centerpiece either. So, yeah, the Cavs could have trade conversations about 14. They have to make the pick, and then they could trade the players' rights. And they could certainly go that direction and feel like, hey, we need some win-now pieces because of where we are in this rebuild. We don't need a young player. But I just don't know that the player that they would get back if they include number 14 is really going to move the needle that much. I keep coming back to a trade about 10 years ago that was made similar to where the Cavs are drafting. It was the San Antonio Spurs and the Indiana Pacers. And it ended up being Kawhi Leonard going to the San Antonio Spurs, and the Pacers got George Hill. Like, that's the type of player we're talking about that the Cavs could potentially get for number 14. It's not an all-star. That's like the seventh or eighth best player in your rotation based on how the Cavs are set up. I just don't know that it's worth it for them to give up 14 for that kind of piece.
Chris Fedor joining us. At 14, you'd have to think they could get a player that they would try to bring along and groom into being, I don't know if one of the core pieces, but certainly a young guy you move forward with. Would you be better off, you think, Chris, keeping that pick and trying to fill a position of need through free agency, through another kind of a trade? You know, go get, if you're looking for a wing player, go try and find somebody on somebody's roster who's buried who you like and keep 14. Is that possible?
I think when it comes down to this year's draft for the Cavs at number 14, they need to identify the best possible wing available at 14. And I say that because in the NBA, you guys know this. If you have a two-way wing that is competent, chances are that guy's not hitting free agency, and chances are that guy's not available in a trade. So if the Cavs don't have the pieces to make that happen in a trade, and I don't think they do, and if the Cavs aren't the destination for a free agent wing, or free agent wings are just so thin on the market because everybody in the universe is looking for that, then how else do you get that? The only way is through the draft. So I think they should, once again, invest heavily in that position and throw another resource at trying to find that. It's not a secret to them that they need a wing. I mean, they've tried, right? They used a first-round pick on Dylan Windler. They used a first-round pick on Kevin Porter Jr. They used the fifth overall pick on Isaac Okoro. They traded this past year for Lauri Markkanen. They're trying so hard to fix that position any way that they can, but it's really, really difficult, and everybody knows that. So because those guys usually aren't available via trade, and they certainly aren't this year, there's some names available, right? Both Bogdanoviches, Jeremy Grant could be available, you know, Harrison Barnes, Gordon Hayward, Tobias Harris. Those are the kind of names that could be available that would fill that spot. But I think it's more likely that the Cavs fill that spot at 14. I think that's the direction that they should go.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and a plane dealer joining us on the Northumpson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. All right, Chris, give Northeast Ohio some homework. Who should we be looking at for 14 then?
I think there are a few names that stand out right away. I'll start with Malachi Branham from Ohio State. He's more of a two than a three, but he brings a shooting element that the Cavs don't currently have on the roster. Dyson Daniels, the G League kid, the Ignite kid. I've heard for weeks that the Cavs have liked him, that he would be in the mix at number 14. There are people that feel like he's not going to make it to 14 because he had a growth spurt, and he might be like 6'6", 6'7" at this point in time. So the scouting combine is going to be really, really interesting for Dyson Daniels. He would fill that secondary playmaker void behind Darius Garland. Obviously, Agbaji from Kansas jumps out, the most outstanding player of the NCAA tournament. He's more ready to help right now. He's further along on the developmental curve. I talked to a scout yesterday that feels like he's the best pure shooter that the Cavs could draft with the 14th overall pick. I've heard that the Cavs like Jeremy Sochan from Baylor. He doesn't really fit what they need in terms of shooting. He doesn't really fit what they need in terms of position, but like those kinds of guys that can be versatile defenders, that can be versatile pieces, play the 3-4, maybe even the 5, those are really difficult to come by, and maybe you just take a talent grab at that particular position. Ty Washington from Kentucky is another player that I know that the Cavs like. Usman Dang, the French kid who played in New Zealand this past year.
With a nice
another
shot.
Another player that I know.
Nice shot.
The Cavs like him, but I don't know if he's going to make it. In fact, like some people inside the Cavs front office feel like he's going 12th to Oklahoma City, and he's not going to get any further down the board than number 12. So, like, those are the kinds of names that immediately jump out to me that Cavs fans should be looking at.
Chris Fedor is joining us, covers the Cavs for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. 14's a big deal. What might be a bigger deal this offseason, Chris, is figuring out what to do with the guys who are on this roster right now. And the three guys that jump to mind for me, Colin Sexton, restricted free agent, Isaac Okoro, you're wondering if he's going to burst and come through and have that type of season where he makes a big step. And then Caris LeVert, who's going into the final year of his contract. What do you think happens with those three guys? And are they all dependent on each other? And maybe what happens at 14?
Yeah, and before that, I forgot another name, too. Tari Eason from LSU, who started his college career at Cincinnati. He's another name that I know that the Cavs like, and he could be available at number 14. I've gotten comparisons to Patrick Williams, who the Cavs liked in the 2020 draft.
Out of Florida State.
But to answer that question, I mean, it's hard to rely solely on internal improvement, guys. But I think there are certainly opportunities for that, don't you think?
Well, Isaac's only, what, Chris, 21 years old.
I mean, he just turned 21 years old in January.
I agree. You hope he gets better.
I hope so, too. And if anything, the Cavs' development track record would tell you this is the year he takes a leap.
And he shot the ball well down the stretch. His three-point percentage was much improved late in the season. So you hope that happens. What about Colin?
But beyond that, I think if we're being honest about it, for a team that won 44 games last year and a team that is coming into this season with playoff aspirations, whether President of Basketball Operations Kobe Altman wanted to say that immediately after the season or not, those are the expectations. It's hard to justify somebody like Isaac, even with some of the good things that he can bring to the table. Even with the upside that he has, that the Cavs still believe in, it's hard to justify giving him 28 to 31 minutes a night when he's a complete non-factor on the offensive end. Teams just ignore him. I mean, go back to the play-in tournament against Brooklyn. They didn't guard him. And when they guarded him, it was Seth Curry who was dealing with a nagging ankle injury that now is going to require off-season surgery. There were times that Brooklyn took that extra defender against Isaac Okoro and just made him the extra defender for Darius Garland to try and make it more difficult on Darius getting to the basket. So if Isaac doesn't make significant leaps on the offensive end, it's just hard for me envisioning him having a finite spot in this rotation next year, despite what the Cavs committed, despite the Cavs using the fifth overall pick on him in the 2020 season. So internal improvement can happen, and the Cavs have reasons to think that it can. But in the situation they are, I don't know that they have as much time to wait for Isaac as maybe it looked like they were going to.
Can we at least teach him the P.J. Tucker backside offensive rebound move?
Look, please? He's a very good offensive rebounder. He's a very good cutter. He's very good in transition. But teams just don't guard him. They don't care about him.
Yeah. All right, the last question I got for you is, Don.
What about Sexton and LeVert?
Then you go. Go, go, go.
Sexton and LeVert.
So LeVert is tricky because on one hand, they're going to have contract negotiations with him. And if those contract negotiations go well, like maybe they go one way. If those contract negotiations don't go well, maybe they go another way. But here's the thing. Like, Caris, in the 2 months that he was here, did not give the Cavs what they thought they were going to get. He was bad. There were reasons for it, and there were circumstances working against him. But he didn't earn a contract extension. Contract extensions have to be earned. And I think the Cavs would be just fine saying, okay, we're going to table this. We're not going to give you a contract extension. You're under contract for this final year. And we're just fine with that. The Cavs were waiting for months to see a five-man lineup of Darius Garland, Caris LeVert, Lauri Markkanen, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen. And that lineup, small sample size, but in 24 minutes, that's all they played together. 24 minutes in the play-in game against Atlanta. That lineup shredded the Hawks. They outscored the Hawks by 17 points per 100 possessions.
Wow.
So there's reasons for the Cavs to think, okay, a better Caris LeVert, a more comfortable Caris LeVert, starting next to Darius Garland with Lauri Markkanen at the three, and Evan Mobley and Jared Allen to play the defense and Darius Garland to initiate, that could be really, really good for us moving forward. So they don't have to do anything with Caris because he's under contract. With Colin, I think the best route for them is to let the market dictate his value. There were questions about Colin coming into the season already, and then he only played 11 games, and he's coming off meniscus surgery, pretty significant meniscus surgery. He hasn't played since November. So I just don't see a team out there, guys, that's going to make Colin Sexton the kind of $20 million annual offer that is going to make the Cavs queasy. I think they wait it out, see if one of the teams is really that desperate for somebody like Colin, and then if it plays out the way that I think it's going to, the way that the Cavs think it's going to, then you can either bring him back on the qualifying offer, you can think about a sign and trade, or you can try and work out some kind of contract extension that is better for the Cavs than it is for Colin Sexton. I think the most likely outcome is that Colin Sexton is back on this team, or he is getting a sign-in trade where the Cavs improve a different spot along their roster. But I just don't think they're going to allow him to leave for nothing. They have to protect that asset.
All right, I got to ask you before we let you go. Tiger make the cut at Seven Hills? Or Southern Hills, I should say.
I mean, I think it's a really, really difficult course. I think it's going to be demanding on him. It's hard for me to say yes, especially given what I saw at the Masters. I just think, like, he's the kind of guy who may get off to good starts, and then his body just won't be able to hold up as the tournament continues to go on. So, you know, I'm a Tiger believer, obviously, but what he's trying to do is just superhuman. So I say no, not in this field, not at this course, unfortunately. No Sunday Red for me.
I want him there because I want you in red with the black pants, and I want you holding Elliot wearing red with black pants as well. Like, oh, I want this beautiful father-son moment.
Guys, it's going to happen. We have that outfit ready to go. It's just Tiger has to hold up his end of the bargain here.
I'm pulling for you.
Chris, thanks, buddy.
You got to go. Anytime,
brother. He's Chris Fedor. He covers the Cavaliers for the Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. And he says, likely outcome, Colin Sexton back next year.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.